This week is Parshas Korach, and so we're going to focus on mostly the Korach story and a little bit in chapter 17 as well, which has the stick test when Aaron is actually the aftermath with Elazar taking the machtos and putting them as a cover to the mizbeach, the fire pans, and the stick test. We're not going to get so much into that. There is a whole other half to the Parsha, which we're not going to touch upon at all. The Nesuv does have comments on it, but we're not going to have time. So we're just going to focus on the beginning. And I thought that his commentary on the Korach story, I mean, aside from being instructive, is a little different than the kinds of things that we're probably more used to hearing. So without further ado, let's go into this. The pasuk tells us, "Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Gaz ben Levi v'dasan v'avram bnei Eliyav v'om bepelos bnei Ruvain." So it sounds like there is, well, I mean, you know, it's weird in the sense of what is the group here? In other words, is Korach allies with Dasan and Aviram, or are there in fact two groups? I mean, we know in hindsight that there are two punishments, right? There's the Vatiftachu Adama, right? The earth opens up, and we also know there's a fire which consumes the Makrivei HaKtoris, those who are bringing the incense. So the question is, in what capacity can we understand Korach and Dasan and Aviram? So, as I said, the Nitziv has his perspective, so let's go through it. That somebody who is trying to achieve something which is not really within his realm of being able to achieve is considered a chote al nafsho. What's a chote al nafsho? So we want to call him a sinner in his soul. So when it comes to the people that Korach, you know, by and large, seems to be inspiring, they're trying to get close to God. Avagav shiyatu shelo yinaku b'vada yikavim Devar Moshe. I'm sorry, Yikuyam Devar Moshe. Even though they knew that things are not going to go well, and maybe Moshe's word is going to be fulfilled, but Zemikrei Chataim Eilu B'Nafsho Sam. So these are considered the people who are Chataim. In their Parsha class I gave earlier in the week, I pointed out that Chataim might not be meaning sinners per se. It might be people who have turned away, because a Chet really means to veer in a different direction. So sometimes a chet is just going in a different direction, but it's not necessarily a sin. What these guys are doing are chataim elei b'nafsho sam. They're basically giving up their lives because of something which they really believe in. Shebikshu la'abedes nafsho sam rak la'asig mala sa'ava v'chasidus b'ofan she'enu l'fi ha'ratzon v'menu yisbarach shemo. That they basically wanted to give up everything out of the love of and piety that they had for the Ribbono Shel Olam. When we shum hachi samach inyan halaz the parsha tzitzis. So the Nitziv is making the argument that this is why the end of Parsha Shlach, which is the parsha of tzitzis from the Shema, leads into Korach. Shehuzeru chaside elyon b'chut shel tcheles. Right, the most pious are warned with the chut, with the string, the blue string. Shebekol chasidusam lo yasuru mimitzvas Hashem kmo shi'arnu be'azhar v'lo sasuru. So I think we looked at that last week, right? Los asuru means like viasuru, to go in the wrong direction. It's to do things to add to the Torah or to take away or to go beyond what's required. So they are being told, they're being reminded next to the tzitzis, don't do this. The haresh nun, the resh nun refers to the 250 ish, haresh nun ish sirbu al zeh v'yigia lehem ashegia. And so they pushed against that, right? They pushed the envelope. And so what happened to them is what happened to them. Lo chayin dasan avaviram heimu hayu rechokim mi tavel yonazo. So the Nitziv is arguing that the makrivei Torah, the people who brought the spices, were actually on a very high level. Okay, and the truth is that if you look at the language of how they die, it compares very clearly to the way Nadav and Avihu die. That the vateitze eish vatochal osamim. It's the same language. And what did Moshe say about Nadav and Avihu? Bikrovai and Kadesh. So there's what to be said about their motivation, even if they were wrong. But Dasan Aviram, totally different situation. Ki im shahayu b'teva bali machlokas v'soni Moshe b'tzrayim. Right? Dasan Aviram were troublemakers. They are people who just try to bring about machlokas. They hated Moshe all the way back when. So now, when they saw they were part of the Gezerah to die in the wilderness and not to enter Eretz Yisrael, so their punishment was to be swallowed up by the ground. And the Bnei Yisrael were joyous over their death, as it is explained, or as he'll explain. Amnam Korach be'emes hayadam gadol v'roy l'tavas ha'resh nun ish. So Korach was actually, you know, an impressive fellow, and he was worthy for that which the 250 people desired. But the problem with Korach is that Korach, I like to compare, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Lion King, but I like to compare Korach to Scar. Remember Scar? Scar is the king Mufasa's brother, the lion brother, who wants to take over. And at one point he says to the hyenas, stick with me and you'll never go hungry again. Because the hyenas are kind of like, you know, they're out of the circle because they're just troublemakers. And he says, we're all equal, but some are more equal than others. Right? You stick with me, everything will be well, except that it won't be well. I just want power. But he doesn't really say that. And that's really what Korach is. I mean, he comes across as being so sincere. So he was not tochel gebaro. What consumed Korach was his jealousy over this shrara, right? The being the leader. So he participated in the 250 people action of the Ketores, but he was punished the way Dasan and Aviram were punished. He did not get involved in something pious, you know, a pious nature, which is not what God wants. What he really was trying to do was to get honor. And he was so sure that he was going to come out alive. And by the way, the Netziv is of the view, as we're soon going to see, that the 250 people, they knew that they weren't going to survive. Or they had the inkling that this was not really the best kind of test to prove anything, but they were willing to be Moser Nafsham. But Korach was so arrogant that he believed that he was that important that he would survive. Imkei Mara Livtoch Lachalok Al Moshe. So what did he see to be sure in his fight with Moshe? V'chol dvar me'elu mevuah b'mikra parshas Pinchas. Hu dasan v'aviram kriyei oida sheritzu al Moshe v'al Aaron b'atas Korach b'atzosam al Hashem. He says, what is Dasan and Aviram parshas Pinchas? It describes there, you know, that's where it says, by the way, uvnei Korach lomesu, and that's an important component because the pasuk here is going to tell us that Korach and everything that he had, b'chol adam asher l'Korach, they were swallowed up by the ground. So how could it be kol adam asher l'Korach if the 250 people are burned by a fire and b'nei Korach don't die? So we'll see his answer soon, but in Parshas Pinchas it describes who Dasan and Aviram are and what their connection to Korach is. Mevuar she'aran ish hitzu al Hashem. The 250 had a complaint. I don't want to say complaint. In other words, that's not the right. I mean, it's a taina. Well, I mean, I'll call it that. Vehema hitzu al Moshe v'al Aaron and the other people, right? The Dasan and Aviram crowd and perhaps Korach as well. They had issues with Moshe and Aaron. V'yuvuar ocham azok klalim. So that's the fundamental fight which is going on here. The real Yirei Hashem, those who are involved in asceticism or however you want to define precious, but people who fear God, they can't get involved in machlokas. I mean, there are too many things which are against their nature if they really are God-fearing. These people believed in Moshe and in the Torah, meaning not in Moshe as a deity, but in the same manner of Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Abba. Rakshay kashel kabel zehadin, but they had a difficult time accepting this din, which is like, oh, that there's only Kohanim. They didn't want to fight with Moshe. And on the other side, you had Dasan and Aviram, who were known to be Bali Machlokas. Okay. So what do you have? You have people on the one hand who are pious and who want to, and they don't want to make basically stoke the flames of Machlokas. But on the other hand, you have Dasan and Aviram who couldn't really rally troops. And who's going to be a fool to follow these guys who just, you know, all they think about is themselves and their own personal gripe that they have against Moshe. So what's the missing link between these two sides? It's Korach. Aval Korach shayigadol ador. Hu aya bekocho lamshich acharav rabim v'chein shleimim. So Korach was an impressive fellow, and he can get people who are wholeheartedly, you know, good people to follow him, and also maybe it wasn't his way to seduce people and to get people to join him. And that's why he had dasan avirim. So in other words, Korach was a charismatic fellow that people were drawn to, but Korach did not have the same kind of hatred as Dasan and Aviram had. So basically, Korach gave a platform to Dasan and Aviram, and once people were drawn to Korach and they heard Dasan and Aviram standing there, so they were drawn to that as well. V'heima holchu b'shlichus Korach v'lachu levav reish nun ish l'mashech achar Korach. So Korach couldn't rally 250 people. But Dasan and Aviram could, and they rallied to Korach on the good side of what Korach was trying to argue. Whereas the Dasan and Aviram, whoever, you know, whatever was their cohort, they were rallied because of the Korach figure, even though they were drawn to Dasan and Aviram's argument. Nimsa kol inyan nigral shem Korach v'hu ikar, and that's why it's called the fight of Korach, because Korach is the key figure that brings everything together. They're just the middlemen that brought about the big fight. That's why it says Korach took, and Dasan and Aviram are after it. And the 250 pious people, and the Tziv, by the way, is going to keep on hammering that point home, that the 250 people are Chassidim. Valihem ne'emar. And here's the pasuk: Adam toa miderech haskel b'kahal rufaim ya nuach. It's Mishlei 21:16, which is a man who strays from the way of enlightenment will come to rest in the company of the dead. Okay, so that's a warning that Mishlei is giving in terms of, you know, what, where are you all going with this? Perish rufaim hu kamo praim, right? Para adam, right? That's the way that Yishmael is described, right? Somebody who's on the outskirts. El praim hu beli ol derech eretz urfaim hu beli ol malchus shemayim b'yiras Hashem. So praim on the one hand is the yoke of derech eretz, and urfaim, which is the actual language of the pasuk, refers to somebody who does not have the ol, the yoke of malchus shemayim, or yiras Hashem, or the fear of God, and that's what's described here. V'yamar kasuv ki mishu yirei elokim emes el shto miderech haskel. So somebody who is God fearing but who turns away from the way of the enlightenment, hare sofa nuach b'kal rufaim, that person is going to eventually come to rest in the company of the dead. V'liyos apikoros v'lazos chachamim k'mo apikoros mamish, and the person will be an apikoros and denigrate the chachamim, etc. V'chein haya b'reish nun ish halalu shetomi derech haskel, right? They were drawn after somebody whose motivation was flawed, and therefore nimshachare paraos dasan aviram ubazu es moshe v'aron. So, you know, they were enamored by the wrong things. So even though they were pious in their own way, unfortunately they brought about their own downfall. No, no, his view, and I think the pshat in the pasuk is that they're clearly not part of it. Okay, I mean, just as an example, look through the psukim. Moshe says in pasuk vav, Zos asuk chul lachem machtos korach v'chol adaso slu v'aneish. And he tells them what the Torah's test is going to be, and I'm going to meet you guys tomorrow. Rav lachem b'nei Levi, you guys have enough going. Who's he talking to? He's talking to b'nei Levi, and then he continues to talk to them, and then in pasuk yid aleph, lachem atavachal adaschano aldin l'hashem v'aron ahu kisalinu alav. Right, so he's talking to Korach and that cohort who are going to be bringing the Ketores. And then pasuk beis vayishlach Moshe l'kro l'dasam l'aviram b'nei Eliyah v'yomru lo na'ale. Okay, so it seems that they're not part of this group. They're in their own place and they're not included in this, and they have their own tainas, which is a different thing. But you're going to see, he's going to make it very clear in his continued analysis how Dasan and Aviram are separate. Okay, Pasuk Tes said, is it not enough for you guys that that Hashem has separated you from Adas Yisrael to be close and to serve in the Mishkan, and to stand before the people to service them? In every way, you are representing the people, so you are on a level above. So I mean, the fact that you can represent the people in tefillah and therefore you know demonstrating for them what it means to love God, you still want kahuna. He says, you're not really doing this for the right motivation. Your problem is that you want more honor. You think this is just not such a big deal to request to have this, you know, this the kavod of avoda. That enough should be enough. It should be enough to tell you this is not good. Kahuna is only supposed to go to somebody who's doing it for Shem Shemayim, v'lo l'chavod atzmo, and not for his own kavod. And that's what's described in Shemos Vayimashik Hasafti. Rather, he says in Shemos 28:35. I didn't bring it to you because I didn't want to, go back on things not in this parsha this time. He says that's what the me'il of the techeles represents, and that's why Aaron merited it, because Aaron had that kind of anibus where he this was never about him, never. Okay, whereas you guys are coming at this from the wrong place. Okay, and that's an important character trait. Now, what does that mean? I mean, are all Kohanim always, completely sincere? I mean, that's not the point. Kohanim, once Kahuna was established, it's something giving over father to son, etc. It's not about, the Kohen should work on himself and should never be seeking his own kavod. Those are the best Kohanim. But these people are trying to become Kohanim. And they can't make the argument that my father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen, like the old joke goes. Okay, Lamisenu Bamizbor. So Lamisenu Bamizbor is the complaint that Das and Aviram have. Is it not enough that you brought us up from Eretz Zavaz Chalav Devash? Lamisenu Bamizbor, I don't want to get into this, but in other situations, we've noted the difference between Asher Otsei Sichem Eretz Mitzrayim to Asher Halisanu Mimitzrayim. Okay, what's the difference between taking out and bringing up? So I'm not going to get into that, just noting that the distinction in language. So he says, to have us die in the wilderness. The Nitziv says, you can't understand this like the way that it seems to mean, that you're having us die in the desert. Right? Das and Aviram are accusing Moshe of causing us to die in the wilderness. So the Nitziv says, how is Moshe making people die? They were suspicious of Moshe that he had asked of God to make this gezerah. Why? Because Moshe knew that he's not going to come to Eretz Israel. I have a whole thing about how Moshe did in fact know that he wasn't coming to Eretz Israel, aside from the fact of the prophecy of Eldad and Medad, which I think we touched upon last week or maybe the week before, and aside from the idea that Moshe says in Devarim that in the context of talking about the spies in Parshas Bamidbar, Devarim rather, Moshe says I'm also not going to be going into the land, and so what Nesson and Aviram are arguing is, Moshe, you asked for us to be stuck in the wilderness for 40 years just so that you can rule, because this way you'll live a much longer time and you could rule over us. And so therefore, you are, and that's the end of Rishon, right? Ki sistarer aleinu gam istarer, you just want to rule over us. So you're doing this for your own ego. Dizaya do it. Yeshua machnis Yisrael aretz, Moshe kasati resh parsha shlach. So they're saying, Moshe, you asked of God to have us be stuck in the wilderness 40 years just so that you can have the power. Okay, so what the Nitziv is throwing onto Dasan and Aviram is, I mean, listen, it fits very well with the pshat, because that's what they say. But they're saying that Moshe requested this, that this is all by design. And you know, I mean, he goes along the same lines in the next comment. Lo is taros levabi kage mizeh el odavar gadol shesrus tefeil lo so davar rams lo bezeh gam chayev lo yavatuach. They felt that his life was not guaranteed because Moshe was going to die in the wilderness. And so look what he says here. They're basically throwing arrows into Moshe's, kotzim or thorns, into Moshe's eyes. They're just gross. I mean, that's a nice way that I can speak about them, in terms of their accusations against Moshe, which really have nothing to do with reality. We know why the gzera for 40 years takes place. It had to do with the spies, and the errors of the spies and what they caused the people to do, and the fact that the people fell into their unfortunate trap. And so Dustin and Raviam are really going above and beyond in their awfulness in accusing Moshe of this thing.
Now, are they as influential to the people as Korach is? Because this is totally it's really bringing Dustin and Raviam into the picture more than even Korach, because you see the hate that they have for Moshe.
Right. So Korach seems to be having more of an issue with Aaron as the Kohen alone and Aaron's family as a Kohanim alone, as opposed to expanding that role to a wider base. Dustin and Aviram are pretty hideous in this story. Well, I mean, so the Netziv is saying that Korach had the charisma, but he didn't have the push and the oomph that people are going to listen to. In other words, he could be inspirational, but he's not going to, bring people to join him without a loud voice of Dasan and Aviram. That's the point that he makes. Yeah. Okay, so look at Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayichar l'moshe me'od. I love this. Okay, and you'll appreciate this also. I know you'll appreciate this. Vayichar l'moshe, nitztayr harbe. Moshe was very upset. Ve'eino milashem kas. You know, when we translate vayichar, we usually assume that it means anger. Why does he say it's not kas? Midaloksi vayichar af Moshe. You like that already? I'm sure you like that. Okay, Moshe says, "Save gracious, lamed al." V'hash. So, what did Moshe Rabbeinu feel? V'hash yirgish Moshe Rabbeinu kolkach. He compares this to what happened with Miriam and Aaron when they're talking about him in Parshas Baloscha. Remember how that we saw that Moshe anavi called him and bounced off. He didn't care what they said about him. Okay, what's the difference here? Shelo yirgish Moshe meuma k'moshe kazak disham. Hayne mishum disham lo yino gead dibur lan hagas ha'am. What they were saying, what Aaron and Miriam were saying to Moshe, had nothing to do with his role with the people. It was a personal issue, a personal matter that for whatever reason was bothering Miriam about Moshe's Isha Kushis and Moshe's Nevuah, and it was a private affair. It was a discussion that wasn't being brought out in public in any fashion. Kim lechvodo shel Moshe. They just trampled a little bit on Moshe's kavod, which the zelo naga b'libo kal, which he didn't care about because he was on of mikol adam. Masha ein kein ka. What's going on here? Sheharu lahamon am the Moshe vakish rasam chas v'shal. They are screaming in front of the whole people. Moshe wants us all dead. It's Moshe's fault. Moshe asked God this kind of thing. V'zei yagia ra rabel chal anaga, and that's painful. That's really hurtful. What do you mean? So Moshe's going to get angry? I mean, these guys are just awful people. So I heard such a beautiful hanhaga. Somebody was telling me, in this time period that we're in with the coronavirus, so sometimes people get very upset about some things. I've had people yell at me over things related to discussion, policy, shul, whatever it may be. And what I had to realize, and I heard this from somebody else as well, is that they're not angry at you. People are just, frustrated. It's a difficult time. And they don't really mean it. And somebody else told me the same thing about the way that his daughter had spoken about something. And he just let it bounce off because he knew that she didn't mean it. It was just a bad moment for her. And so that's Moshe. He's like, you guys are frustrated, so I'm not going to get angry at you because you don't mean it, but it still is hurtful. And that's, I think, a distinction and a way to understand the way that the Nitziv is explaining Moshe's reaction here. Okay, pause. Okay, well, that's a question of what savlanus means. What's going to get Moshe angry? I mean, these guys are such troublemakers and upstarts. What we would have to do to actually understand better is look at times when Moshe gets angry in the text, in the Torah, which happens a few times. There are five or six times that Moshe gets angry in the Torah. And, when it says Vayichar Af, or does it never say that? I don't know. And what is Moshe's response? Is it pain? Is it pain, because that's the way that Nitziv is describing here, or is it in fact anger? I mean, I think that, I once did a little, I think I gave a shiur on this, that Moshe gets angry, and he usually gets angry, it's usually a prelude to when he forgets a halacha. And there's another, there are two common themes there. He gets angry, there are six times that Moshe forgets a halacha, okay? It doesn't say Vayicharaf. I don't remember. We can talk about it next week. It's Pasuk Parakhov. I can quickly look. I don't think that he gets angry. So I mean, he gets frustrated, but it doesn't sit down. No, there's no Vayichar Moshe. Not at all. Okay, I mean, he talks to them. He says, Shimunu Amorim. I mean, Asel Azeh, but that, he doesn't say Vayichara. All right. Anyway, but that's for a different study. I don't want to get lost in that now. But again, the other theme that I was saying though is that when Moshe does get angry, it's when he's afraid that somebody's going to die. Okay, he gets angry in the aftermath of Nadav and Avihu's death. When Aaron, Elazar, and Tamar do not eat from the carbon, but there the pasuk says Vayiktsof al Elazar v'al Yitzhamar b'nei Aaron. Okay, so again, it's a different language, and that's another example when he forgets the halacha, and Aaron says to him, "Hold on, Moshe, like we're owning him, we're not really supposed to eat the meat right now." Okay, so anyway, that's a topic of a full shiur. Okay. I'm going to skip this one. I'll just tell you briefly what he's talking about here. In Pasuk Tezayin, Moshe says, "Vayomer Moshe el Korach, Atavach al Dascha, Hayu lifnei Hashem, Atavah hem Aaron Machar." So he basically, the Nitziv says, that what Moshe is doing is he's calling them to a din Torah. Okay? And why is he calling them to a din Torah? Look what he says. We'll go from this part. Okay? You see where I highlighted? The halal lo kafru karach odasim vavirim b'toras Moshe habal doros alam shem chukos shemayim v'aretz el chashvish kol gadol Yisrael ruim l'geshes al hakodesh. They thought that anybody who's a gadol b'Yisrael is worthy to come close to the kodesh. Okay, na'ya b'zed din Torah shem einem ruim yin nigaf v'meis miad. What Moshe is saying is you all think that you're ruim, but if you're not, you have to understand that you're putting your own life in your hands. V'lo me'ak Torah's klal yigin onesh, and it's not that it's going to come from the Torah's. Shezeu onesh l'shah, v'lo teva shemikrei din Torah, mishum hachi nisan l'chshod, el ezminu atzmachem l'din. Moshe's saying, you're inviting yourselves to a din. Hainu l'onesh hanigashim l'akodesh shelo kara'ui. Okay, this is the din that you're bringing yourself to. You're putting yourself in a situation that you're going to be subject to the punishment of those who come to the Kodesh in an improper fashion. So be very careful. I think I mentioned, well, I don't know if I mentioned last week, but knowing what we know about what happened with Nadav and Avihu, if Moshe says to me, all right, you guys could bring Torahs and see what happens, I like to think that would be the straw that would say to me, you know what, go home. don't play this game. But, but that's the dividing line that we have here. Who are these people? On the one hand, they're pious, and they want to do Kodesh, and on the other hand, they don't realize, or maybe they do realize, that this is not really a fight that you should be taking, because you're literally playing with fire. Okay? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now, this is also important. Moshe says to them, "Ukhu ish machtaso, you're each going to take a pan." Pasuk Zayin, "When satem aliyem ketores v'yikravtem lufnei Hashem ish machtaso chamishim u'shtayim ish v'atavi aron ish machtaso." He says what you're going to do is you're going to put ketores. Okay? Unbelievable. Then the next pasuk says, "Vayikhu ish machtaso v'yitnu aliyem ish v'yisim aliyem ketores." You'll note that Moshe never told them to put fire. Okay? Moshe said, you're going to put ketores. And then Nitziv says, "V'lo izkir eish uchamosh b'yanu, mikol makom shayach lashon v'hikravtem," right? You're going to bring it close. And then what happens? Vayitnu aleihem eish. They did it. They put the fire. Kasher ha-reish nun ish. Me'az ha-isa chukasam laktil v'nei Hashem, gam shalob ritzon Hashem. They wanted to bring this ketores before God, even though it was not God's desire. Esh lo yachlu l'vol l'omod, shalavim ayu l'gader. They couldn't come to the omod, because the levim were basically a fence. Yatan ki nifratza ageder, v'giyu l'idei ma'as ha-zeh shalamachtos, shuv lo shamu l'moshe, elo asu k'moshe ha-moshe t'chila. So, They somehow broke through. They're bringing the machtos. They're not listening to Moshe anymore. But they're saying what Moshe said at the outset. Mishumachi lo ksiv vayasuchein. They're not. It doesn't say that they did exactly what he said because they didn't do exactly what he said. Ela vayitnu alehem eish. They put fire. Ksiv alehem alehem. Right, and it says alehem vayitnu alehem, meaning on the machtos. They put fire. Velo bohen, not into the machtos. And it doesn't say that they put it in it, in a full pan or a full thing of coals like it's done in Yom Kippur. They wanted to bring Torahs in a way which is even better than however is described in the Torah, and not the way Moshe said. So what happens is, what? Well, I guess what the Nitziv is hinting to is the idea that Moshe did not want to be held responsible for their death. Right? In other words, maybe Moshe is saying, look, if you guys bring forth Ketores, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe God will accept it or he won't accept it. But he's not saying to put fire, because he knows if he tells them to put fire and they do it on his tzava, then they're going to die. But you know, they're not. You know, they've come this far. They're not gonna not burn the ketores, but that's on them. What does the pasuk say? And you and Aaron, each man is machta. What's atavi Aaron? Meaning you, Korach, and Aaron. Umoshe v'Aharon. I'm sorry. The end of the pasuk. This pasuk now is that each person brought it. They put fire, they put ketores, pesach oel moed, and they stood outside the oel moed, umoshevi Aaron. So obviously, it was supposed to be Korach and Aaron, and now it's Moshevi Aaron. V'lo kamosha amar Moshe, she'amod Aaron u'chamishim u'saim ish. It was supposed to be that Aaron was going to stand with the 250. Elo amar Moshe, but he actually stood with Moshe. The 250 people didn't listen to what Moshe said. And because they didn't listen, Aaron was not allowed to stand next to them in the end. In other words, it was supposed to be... Right, think about the stick test. What's the stick test? Everybody throws their stick in there, end of story. Okay? Aaron throws his stick, right? Aaron is along with everybody else. So because everybody did what was supposed to be done, Aaron's among them, no problem. But here, once these people put fire in, so Aaron can't be with them anymore because they're not following the rules. Al-Kain Sar Mechever Asam V'Amad Im Moshe B'Fnei Atzma L'Ros Ma Yaseh Hashem. Because it should have been that it just accepts Aaron's Ketores, end of story, and then everybody can go home. But no, people, they took it to a different level. Can you imagine if each of the people who gave the stick did something that they weren't supposed to do with their stick? I have no idea what would have happened. Okay, but the point is that they all did the same thing. Here, once they put the fire on, the Nitziv is arguing, Aaron came into a different category, and so he couldn't be with them anymore, because the test wasn't an equal test anymore. Okay. Vayakel aleihem Korach, eskol edel pesach al moed, vayirach vod Hashem al kol edel. So Korach gathered them, Odu be'erev kileida shimuchanim lavol baboker ol moed. So they would come in the morning to be ready to come there. The rosh yikabal ktoras shalol ratzon, to see that the ketores has been accepted, even though it had not been asked for or desired. Okay, so somehow he knew that his children were going to be involved in the mishmaros later on, and so Korach felt that very confident about what was going on here. So now it says lo kol adas Yisrael nikbatzu v'olukach, and I'm giving this really for the last line, which I just love because it's something which I very strongly believe in. That it's not all of the Eda who gathered. Because sooner he's going to say, speak to the Eda and say, get up from around Dasan Aviram. There's a totally different group, which is near Korach's Mishkan, whatever that means, and where Dasan and Aviram are. Elahachi Berusho. Osa Eda Shenikalu Lepesach Olbo Eid. Loi Sabi Asan Lekvod Shel Moshe Ve'aram Liros Mapa Asam Shalom Alinim Aliyam. Those who came around the Olam Moed, they weren't coming to see regarding Moshe's honor and to see the fall of those who were speaking badly against them. He says, Kol HaKohol, those who came were coming because Korach had gathered them to see the disgrace of Moshe and Aaron. But whoever was not seduced by Korach's words didn't come to the Olmoid. And many came to Dasan and Aviram. What's the Yisra'im? To yell at them, basically. Blessed is, right, what's the Chamarazim? It's God, right? Who makes it that not all people think the same. Okay, and unfortunately, that's something which we're losing. Okay, there's a tremendous amount of groupthink which goes on, both in the Jewish community and in the general society. We're seeing it a lot with what's going on today. So I'm not gonna comment on that anymore. But the Netziv is saying there are people who certainly joined us in Aviram, but there are people who are very upset with us in Aviram. There are people who joined Korach, and there are people who are very upset with what Korach was doing, because not everybody thinks the same. So now look what he says here. They come to Mishkan Korach Dasan Aviram, Aval Haresh Nun Ish Nitzolum Gzeres Udabliya. So what happens? We know what's going to happen, right? At Dasan Aviram, the earth is going to open up and swallow people. So but the 250 people, they are not included in the Gzera. Mishim Shehem Kivnu L'Shem Shemaim, because their intent was to the sake of heaven, in terms of their bringing the Keteros. How you Niftim, the Kemosh Kesat L'El, that even in this Machlokas, what is Niftim? Niftim comes from the Lashon of Pitu, Mefata. They were seduced to join in the Machlokas, but they weren't bodily Machlokas. Their problem was that they were bringing the Keteros with the strange fire. And so therefore, the punishment which came only fell on these individuals who brought the fire, but not on their families, which is not the case with Korach, Dasan, Aviram. So now he describes what happens when the ground opens up. Moshe gives this long speech about, you know, you accuse me, but everything that I've ever done was from God. And if a bria happens, I'm sorry, if you all die in your bed, then lo Hashem shlachani, Hashem didn't send me. But if a bria happens and you die now with the ground opening up and swallowing you, then you'll know that Hashem indeed sent me. So he says, now this I found fascinating because I never heard this before. And I'm sure my image of this is tainted by, you know, the vision of the way Cecil B. DeMille mixes Korach and Dasan and Aviram with what happens at the bottom of Har Sinai. But, you know, what do you imagine is that there's some kind of an earthquake and everybody falls into the ground, right? He says, no, it's not the way it is. Because if it had been an earthquake and everybody just boom fell in, then there wouldn't be that dread and that fear on the people who are saying, oh no, am I included in this? So at first there's a split and the earth becomes a mouth. Echad right, kind of like out of a science fiction movie, where the ground just, you know, it's kind of like beam me up, Scotty, but like lehefech, beam me down, Scotty. Okay, that each individual gets sucked into the ground. Okay, and the next perush, the next comment which he has, yes, batehem, and their houses. He says, ain't a kavana batim mamish, doesn't mean that their houses and their property. That's what you would expect in a in an earthquake. He says, shari loyal and batim kimolim, they had tents. Ela perush mishpachtom v'zaram kmo beis Yaakov. It means that their household, their family. U'mishamachi b'ir shakasav yis kol adam ha'shel korach. And that's why it doesn't say the beso shel korach. It specifies kol ha'adam ha'shel korach, each individual person that was with Korach, the lo kamodasim aviram shenivla kol zaram v'lo nishtarim beisim uma. There's nothing left of dasim aviram. They don't exist anymore. Their family is gone. But Korach, we know that kubnei Korach lo meisu, right? So what does that mean? Shemash ein kain Korach shebenav lo meisu el kol adam haynu avadav anigram achrab olo. Those who were part of his cohort, who were his servants or those who followed him, kol adam does not mean his family members. The Korach atzmo, lefisha amidrash nivla gam hu imam, lefia pshat yibuar od lahalan chavav yud. So Korach is an interesting study, and when you read the psukim, it's not clear. But I mean, maybe it is clear now that we have the Nitziv's comment on it. So what does he say? What does the pasuk say? Right, pasuk lama beis. Vatiftach haaretz es piyah, vatiblau sam v'yas batehem, v'eis kol adam asher l'korach, v'eis kol rechush. So actually, that's interesting. It doesn't say what happened to Korach. It says that they are all consumed by the ground, and kol adam asher l'korach. But Korach's actual fate is not mentioned specifically. It says they all, v'yardu heim v'chol ashelem chayim sha'olah, v'tachas alayim haaretz, v'yavdu mitoch hakol, that they're lost. And then in Pasuk Lamed Hey, it says, V'ya'ish yatzah me'eis Hashem v'tochal eis ha'chamishim m'sayim ish ma'kivyak Torahs, that the 250 people who brought the Torahs, they died. Okay, what about Korach? So that's why he says, Korach atzmo l'fi ha'midrash nivla gam hu imam, that Korach was swallowed, and that Korach would seem to be separate from the 250 people who brought the Torahs. Why? Well, I can't answer that question, except that maybe because Korach's instigation seems to be certainly a worse fate of his partnership in whatever way with Dasan and Aviram, because he had a different level of chutzpah than the 250 people whose chutzpah was you know just misguided as opposed to coming from a place of evil. So that's the I imagine that's the difference, and that's why he feels that they were Korach shared the fate of those who were swallowed by the ground. Vayovdu mitocha kahol. I mean, look, chayim sha'olah means that they were swallowed by the ground. But vayovdu mitocha kahol lo kamo kavurim shenikar kamo adama chafura b'zeh makom. They were lost completely. Right, when somebody is buried, right, imagine, and this is where he's going completely against the idea of the of an earthquake. In other words, he's doubling down on that. He says, when somebody, if there's an earthquake, for example, so you know where it was. You know, you can see remnant of it, even if the ground eventually closes back together in some fashion. Not that I'm saying that happens. I don't know. I've never actually seen an earthquake, except in movies. So, I've seen, you know, I guess aftermath of it, but, you know, things get fixed up. You can know where it happened. But he says here, there was no remnant whatsoever. Avakam kishet. You can't become a maye. They were completely lost. You can't. There was no way to discern where they had been. Right, I'm sure you've heard the thing. That you hear that place that it could be discerned. But there's no way to know where they actually went. And they're swept away in the Tahom, the depth of the Adama. Okay? And then finally, just to finish the parak, Lamed Hey, remember I mentioned how the death of the 250 is very similarly described to the way that Nadav and Avihu died. So he mentions that point. The Eish Yatzah Me'eish Hashem Atoch Al Eish HaChamishim Masayim Ish Makrivei HaKetores. So he says that they don't die from the Eish HaKetores. Okay, and that's, by the way, that's the same thing happened to another one of you. El Me'eish Hashem Hayinu Mikodesh HaKadoshim. That where is this fire coming from? From the Holy of Holies. So what does that mean? It's not coming from a natural fire. It's a supernatural fire. This is a kind of plague that afflicted 250 people. But nevertheless, they are honored. That they die the same way Nadab and Abihu died. And that's why they're called the people who brought close to Ketores. To tell us that this punishment came for them on account of the Ketores situation, but not because they were Baalei Machlokas. That was very secondary, if even part of their issue. They were brought into this situation because Korach had his issues, but they were not drawn into Korach's specific fight. They were more pious and more ready. So that just opens up one. Yes. Okay, but he says Makrivei Akhtoris.
Right.
But they certainly get a different death than the Aretz, you know, Boleos. The earth is not swallowing these people up. So yeah, you want to ask most people, fine. But this is a class within a tziv, and so that's what I said at the outset. It's a little different than things which you may have heard before, and I do find it compelling. I for a long time in studying this, I certainly felt this significant distinction between the 250 Makrivei Akhtoris and the Dasan and Aviram cohort, but I didn't view the 250 people in a positive light, because simply, you know, when we think, for example, about Machlokas Shelo L'Shem Shemayim in Pirkei Avos, so it talks about the Machlokas of Korach V'Adaso. Now, the language, I'm sure you've heard the word, that Korach, it doesn't say Korach v'Moshe, right? It doesn't say the machlokas of Korach and Moshe. It says Korach and Adasa, which just goes to show that there was not a congruence of opinion in Korach and his Eda. Okay? So that's the machlokas of Lo L'Shem Shemayim. And maybe we can say, in light of the Netziv, that Korach was not as L'Shem Shemayim as Adasa. And that's why it's Shelo L'Shem Shemayim, because I'll just give you a lahavdil, okay? In an ideal sense, and this is not a L'Shem Shemayim, this is like many havdalos, okay? But in an ideal sense of what politics should be in this country, so I once heard it said I've heard it explained this way many times, that Democrats and Republicans, in a sense, really want more or less the same thing for Americans, but they have very different ways of getting to those goals. Okay, now, we can argue that point of whether we actually want the same things, Republicans and Democrats, but in an ideal sense of what the country is and is meant to be, so, you know, everybody wants freedom, pursuit of happiness, right? Those kinds of things, and which are talked about in the founding documents. The question is, how do you get their best? Right, what's the most way of being, caring about others? What's the most way, is it better to have a bigger government or a smaller government? So those are machloksim, okay, but we all want the same thing. So the question is, did Korach and his Eda really all want the same thing? They just had different means of getting there. They were more pious, and Korach a little less pious. Could be, I don't know, but that's the idea of Korach v'Adasa. That's an idea of Korach v'Adasa. Okay. A few more things. Let me just see how much we have here. So, you know what? We're going to skip a little bit because the next element of the story is the aftermath of this component, which is that the Elazar is told to take the fire pants, right? Eis pasuk gimel. Excuse me. Eis machtos achata imayla benafshu sam. So look at this. Kfar nisvar she reish nun ish halalu ayu chasidei ador. Okay, the idea of the machtos achatem elu b'nafsho sam, that they mamish these chataim, and I don't really want to call them sinners, but that's I guess that's a translation. What they did with their souls. Look at how he describes it. I kind of hinted to this beforehand. Masru nafsham al avas Hashem. They gave up their lives because of their love for God. Okay? So what does he say here? There's an idea of kapara here. Where is it? Maybe it's not there. Okay, it's not there. I don't know why. But the rest of this, that's the language which is the same. That's the Nazir was a chote ala nefesh. Okay, in other words, he did something for his soul. Al d'sham ksiv ala nefesh d'mashmo al hanefesh achiyuni itzaro mibli oyel fi kocho k'moshu k'satu le'el ayen sham. So you have to le'el sham a less critical aspect of what the Nazir goes through. V'kan ksiv b'nafsho sham, that they're actually doing it. So what's the difference? There it's Masher Chata Al HaNefesh. And here they're Chata'im Bin Afshasam. Hu Nefesh Amala Shenikru Neshama. That they are, this refers to a higher level of Neshama. Shechata Masher Ratzu La'alos Osali De Abdon Mizeh Olam. What is the Nazir trying to do? He's trying to remove himself from pleasures of, in some aspects pleasures of this world, but in other aspects of participating in this world. So that's one level. But they are trying to bring their neshama up to a higher level where they're willing to give up their lives. Okay, and he's basically saying that is a higher level on account of their love of Hashem. Vayikdashu. I mean, it's crazy when you think about how you're taking these machtos, which you want to look at and say that these machtos are being used for sin, but the pasuk says that Vesoesh Zerei Hala Ki Kadeshu, because you have to throw away the fire because they have become holy. Who became holy? Is it the people? Is it the fire? Or is it the machtos? So it seems that from the context of the pasuk that it's referring to the machtos, the fire pans. And that's what it says. Machtos Achadayim Ha'ilu B'Nafshon Sam V'Asu Osam Regei Bachim Tzipulam Esbeach Yigivim L'Hashem L'Vnei Hashem V'Yigdashu. That these machtos, these pans, were brought before God by Yigdashu, and they became sanctified. So he even says that Tapa Mashiach Rivul of Neshem Miktoras Nischadashu, they became sanctified. Al Kain and Nimala Osam Oli Bekodesh. I'm going to raise them up higher in sanctity. It's hard to argue that this chait, and if indeed it's a chait, is a terrible chait, if the machtos which they're using are becoming a part of the mizbeach. Okay. The example that I give is, can you imagine if they took the golden calf and carved up that gold and put it as a cover for the aron? Can you imagine? That'd be crazy. You'd say the golden calf is avodah zarah mamish. So can we argue this is avodah zarah? Clearly not. They're trying to get close to God in a sincere way, but they did something wrong because it wasn't commanded by God, right? It's like the same thing with another view. Eish zara sher lo tziva. Okay, and that's what's going on over here. So I'm going to raise them up in holiness. Now the reminder is not to be kakorach v'adaso. And by the way, I put this here because I thought it was important. It's like a tag to what happened before. Va'adaso mibayi. It should say kakorach va'adaso and his eda. But it says Korach v'cha adaso, not to be like Korach and like his Eda, to make a distinction between them. Afilu mechavein lemitzvah asu lasos machlokas. Korach was one thought process, and the Eda was a different thought process. They are doing a mitzvah; you shouldn't be doing a machlokas. Okay. Anyway, let's look over here. So what is he told? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oh, okay. So that's that story. So what happens afterwards is that there's a magefa, and people start to die because they're complaining that you have destroyed the nation. Okay. If you look in pasuk vav, vayilonu kol das bnei Yisrael macharas al Moshe ve'al Aaron lemor atem amitam asam Hashem. You killed the nation of God. Okay. They complain. And so people start to die. And Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, Eiron mitokai do'azaz v'chalazom karoga, v'yipul up nehem, v'yomer Moshe el Aaron. So God says, get out of here, I'm going to be wiping them out. And so Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces, which is what we saw in Parsha Shlach, in response to the complaint of the spies and the people. And now Moshe says to Aaron, Kachas ha-machtov sein alei ha-esh, Moshe says to Aaron, take the pan and put fire on it, v'sein alei ha-esh, okay? Note that language, as we're soon going to see, it's important. Me'alam is be'ach. Where's the fire going to come from? From on top of them is be'ach. V'sim ketores, and put ketores. So you'll note the difference between v'sein alei ha-esh, v'sim ketores. Both of these mean put, but they're a different word. There's the word kaper that I knew was there, but it was in a different context. Okay? And bring atonement for them, because something's going on. You have to stop the plague. Okay, we know what Aaron does. So take a look at the way the Netziv comments on this. Kachas ha-machtov. Lo ya al-pi adib, or al-pi adib mimalach ha-mabes, shektoris mo'el ma'gefa. First of all, so it wasn't because God told Moshe to do this, but Moshe knew that Ketores can stop the Malach Mavis. The Avagash and Asim is that Yisrael Otsi Lachutz, and even though there is a prohibition of bringing the Ketores outside, Gam Huadin Ketores Zara, and it's also a Ketores which was a strange one, Mikom Makom Hari Pikuach Nefesh Docha Kol Vuar Odufanenu. A Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Kol. That's an argument which is being used today with respect to a lot of things which take place with respect to religion and with respect to ritual, etc. So that's an argument. But certainly in this kind of case, we have a Navi is allowed to make a Hora Ashah in order to save people. And Eliyahu Navi in Har Carmel does the same thing, where he makes a Hora Ashah and he does something which is against the rules, where he makes a Mizbeach and brings Karbanos on Har Carmel, which is outside of the base of Mikdash, but he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to do that. Okay, so and by the way, you see the same thing here. A few comments later, the Madmi said the Mishum Shoyed Daver Moshe Lo B'Dvar Hashem Elo Midas Atzmo B'Tam Pikuach Nevar Shadoch Mishum Achitziva Sheyak Tar B'Fnim Lo Ye Ela Yisur Ketores Zara. So Moshe said that the haktara should be bifnim. Remember what he told Aaron: put fire me'al ha-mizbeach. Presumably that's the mizbeach of the ketores, by the way, b'sim ketores, and then you're going to put the ketores there. So you do all that inside, and then come outside. Okay. So Moshe was trying to minimize the damage of what he's going to be doing. And he also did it once Heichel Hanegef. He also told him to do that once the plague had already started. Mashe Ein Kein Im Ein Yadua Birur, as opposed to if it's not clear. So in other words, when is Pikuach Nefesh? Pikuach Nefesh is when people are mamish dying. Okay, that's an important thing to bear in mind about the definition of Pikuach Nefesh, as opposed to, I really think that some things are taken to an extreme. When people are not dying, is it pikuach nefesh? In other words, do you stop everything because of the concern that somebody might die? With that argument, we should never drive. With that argument, we should never fly. With that argument, we should never go to a restaurant. With that argument, we should never do anything because of a concern that somebody might die. It's my issue with the pikuach nefesh here. So, I'll give you a different example. I just was learning Mishnayos Shabbos in the Mishnah classes, which I'm teaching daily. And we were learning about in Eliezer Demila, chapter 19. So one of the things is that if you forget to prepare the whatever powder, he talks about what people translate to be cumin. If you forget to prepare that before Shabbos, so then you can chew it in your teeth to break it up and to soften it in order to be able to put it on the baby. Of course, that's not exactly sanitary. It's ancient medicine. So, but you can't grind it on Shabbos. So I mentioned something that I heard somewhere, which I think is like a brilliant solution to this, which is, before the mila is done, then that's a solution because it's a shinui and whatever. So don't do it before the mila is done. Have somebody standing there, do the mila, and once the mila is done, okay, and the child's bleeding, now it's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is doch hakol. Then do it in a sanitary way, do whatever you need to. Pound the stuff, break it down, etc. Mortar, pestle, however, in sanitation rules. And there you go. So that's what Moshe's doing. Moshe's not saying, you know, let's break rules because there might be a plague coming. He's saying, no, it's a plague. Pikuach nefesh is doich hakol. I'm going to minimize damage by telling you to do it inside and then bring it outside. But I'm not going to tell you to do any of this stuff and bring stuff michutz until pikuach nefesh causes us to be doich hakol. Okay, so now with that background, now we can look at the question here. V'sim k'toris. Okay? Okay, so what does it mean, sim k'toris? For what he needed to do, it's enough if he would put the k'toris ala esh b'va olasham, to put the k'toris on the fire when it's coming there. Moshe asar, v'em is going to be, mishum shaya be'isr, ela pikuach nefesh doche, because there was a prohibition, but pikuach nefesh allows it, kol she'efshar lahakel isr adif. So that's that idea. Anything that you can do to minimize the prohibition, that is preferred. You shouldn't do it outside, you should do it inside. So the prohibition would only be that he's bringing it outside. That, in other words, the idea of bringing it outside after it's already burning. So this is another thing which Moshe did, where he said not to put the ketores directly on the fire, but to put them both in the same pan, and as you move, you know, things will get mixed around. Let it be where it is, and somehow it'll mix together, and it won't be the same. You know, he's trying to minimize the damage. Remember once asking somebody, you know, about the Machon Somet, you know, Machon Somet, where they have through Grama, you can use a gramophone or whatever. And my question was, you know, if you're using the phone because of Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Hakol. And the answer is, yeah, but if you can minimize your malacha, even with, you know, so then you want to minimize the halacha. It changed my perspective on it, which I think makes a lot of sense. So now, the last thing which I wanted to show you is this comment here. And I highlighted it when we were reading it, and so now we're going to see, and hopefully we'll understand it together, okay? V'hitena sekatoris. B'kol makom v'chsiv nesina sekatoris, k'siv b'lashon sima. Every time when it talks about the placing of ketoris, it uses the language of lasim, right, to place it. K'mo b'nadaviyah, v'yisimu alea ketoris. Right? That's what Moshe tells the people. And in fact, that's the way Korach's people did it. Moshe tells him to place the Ketores with the word sim. And what did in fact Aaron do? Vayitain es haketores. Okay? V'chein le'el tazayin yitzayin v'satem aliyem ketores v'chein parts acharei. He says, don't think this is all, you know, random. It's not. Benir de mashmo sima, the idea of the word lasim, unasina beseder yafe v'sum leif. Sima means to do it in an orderly fashion, the right way. Kamo mashmos v'samu badav. Right, what it means to put the poles in the kalim, which need to be carried, shebianu shu tikun al maskontam, which means to put them in very carefully, very deliberately, very precisely. Chembiyan b'sefer Shmosman. Harbe lashon v'yosim shemashma'o b'sum lev v'yish v'das. That when it comes to sima means doing things right, b'nachas, correctly. Minei b'chol nesina sektoros al koin lios nizhar litein mirachok v'liskarei l'fanam k'dei shelo yichave yado. So nesina, when the koin is told to do a nesina, he has to do it from a distance so that he doesn't, you know, do something which is going to damage his hand. You don't want to injure yourself. So whenever it's actually done, it's being placed with forethought and care. When Moshe told them to put it, he told them to put it without any fire. So there's no care that needs to be done because you're not involving fire. Tells them to put it there. So everybody put it, doesn't matter because you're not bringing fire into the equation. Moshe is telling him, Litain, in a matter of Gechalim, and you just got to do it and put it from the side. V'sim b'zihirus, place it there carefully. Right? What does Moshe say? V'sim k'toris, put it there basically on the side. V'holech me'er lo'ida, and then hurry. Masha'en kein Aaron lo nasanak k'toris ad ba'o l'tocha kahol. He says, what happened? Aaron did not have the time, he felt, to do Moshe's deliberate instruction. You know, you're going to put the Gechalim over here, you're going to put the Ketores over here, and you're going to let it go. Aaron didn't have the time. Aaron just took the Gechalim and ran out. And there was no time to be careful. So he has the Gechalim over here, and he's like, okay, I'm running out, and as soon as I get to the people, boom, I'm gonna, just going to dump it on there because I have no time to think about it. That's the language there. Because once he's in place, he's just doing the avoda. And there isn't the need for him to be as deliberate, as perfectly precise and careful, because there, the Gechalim are already there, and he's just dumping the Ketores on there as he does in the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom Kippur. So I just thought it's an insightful comment where he's making the distinction between Sima and Nesina in terms of helping us understand what's going on here. And I think that you also see the notion that Pikuach Nefesh does impact the way that people respond. But Pikuach Nefesh is mamash in the moment. I'll just conclude with one final thought about Pikuach Nefesh. I once heard that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was asked the question, What kinds of halachas does a person need to know, like, you know, klar, because you don't have time. You know, most questions somebody asks a rabbi, the question is, do you need to know right away? And the answer usually is, no, I'll get back to you. When can you not say I'll get back to you? He said there are two areas of halacha where you can't say I'll get back to you. One of them is Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah mistakes. So whether it's in the reading or if you find a mistake in the Torah, maybe it's both, that you have to know, you know, quickly what's the... I think it was more in Kriya Satorah, by the way. Like if somebody makes a mistake in the Kriya, whether to correct them or whether it's okay, because it doesn't change the meaning of the word, for example. So that you have to know klar, and you got to know. And the other one is the laws of Pikuach Nefesh. There's no time to think. Pikuach Nefesh, you got to take care of it. So that is an important distinction. And obviously, you know, Moshe and Aaron each had their own insight here in terms of how far you go with Pikuach Nefesh. But Aaron did things a little differently than the way Moshe told him, because, you know, Pikuach Nefesh does play a role in determining what, in fact, you end up doing.